I'd like to ask you to join me in prayer before our scripture reading of 1 John 3:1. Just one verse today, 1 John 3:1. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your clear word. We thank you for the wonder of your ways, and we pray that you will fill us with wonder as we are before you, your word, and your ways. Now, Lord, may the words of my mouth be pleasing in your sight, and the meditations of our hearts lead to greater conformity to Jesus Christ. For he is our rock and our redeemer, and we pray in his name, and all of God's children said,
Amen. Amen.
A single verse, 1 John 3:1. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God, and we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Thus far, the reading of God's word, and all of God's people said,
Amen.
You may be seated. We are surrounded by the ways of the Lord. We are enveloped in the works of the Lord. So much so that we too often do not even recognize it. We are surrounded by the ways of the Lord. So we are called regularly to see, recognize, take a look. The passage begins, see how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God, and we are. As I approached this passage, a number of memories were stirred up. And as these memories arose, I realized that they provided an appropriate introduction and explanation to this passage. These events are true. I share them with you. Now, his name was Pete, and he was a deacon in the Southern Baptist Church I attended as a child and a young man. Pete was curious and joyous, weathered and weary. Pete was a storied fellow. Pete loved his pastor, Pastor Tom. They were friends, and their friendship developed over a number of years, not days or months, and those were years of confiding and caring, eating and praying together, disagreeing and agreeing together, sharing concerns and hopes, making memories, living life, serving the church together. Sinners serving sinners. That deacon loved Pastor Tom, and Pastor Tom loved Pete. To have visited our church was to see and meet Pete. He was unavoidable. Pete loved our church and always seemed to be there, rock steady, a reliable saint sinner, present and available at services and studies, visitations, work days, and prayer meetings. He was always there, except one time when he wasn't. Pete was absent. It was an emergency. Pete had been whisked away to a hospital in Phoenix, Arizona, some 200 miles away from the small town of Lake Havasu City. His diagnosis was serious, and the care he needed was serious. What he needed was not available in his small town. Pete was dying, and he would soon die. And that church of my childhood would soon gather and say farewell to Deacon Pete. His emergency transport occurred on a Saturday evening. He was admitted to a hospital in Phoenix, and that is why he was not at church on Sunday. My childhood pastor, Pete's pastor and friend decided to make the four-hour drive to Phoenix to be with Pete. Pastor Tom left that very Sunday morning. However, before leaving town, Pastor Tom had instructed another deacon, Brother Curtis, to make arrangements for the morning service. Well, it so happened that on that particular Sunday, I was home visiting my parents. I was also home because my hometown church had invited me to preach in the evening service. I was in Bible college at the time, and they were giving me some experience. That morning, the deacon who was tasked with making arrangements for the morning service approached me and informed me of Pastor Tom's absence. And he mentioned a firm request that I was invited to preach in the morning service. What? Gulping, hesitating, I finally stammered out a reminder that I was scheduled to deliver the message in the evening service. That deacon tilted his head, and he looked at me with questioning eyes. I explained that I wasn't sure that I could or would even have anything to offer for the morning service in just over an hour. That faithful deacon continued to look at me. I should say he fixed his gaze upon me. And he asked me a question, and I quote, "Brother Neil, ever heard of the Holy Spirit?" I nodded a mute yes and said, "Okay." That deacon opened the pastor's study and allowed me to sit in there during the Sunday school hour. There I was in the office of my childhood pastor, a student, a novice, plebeian, yes, not even a rookie or a minor leaguer, sitting dwarfed at the pastor's desk. I began to pray. I tried to prepare. I desired to scrawl some notes, something, anything for the congregation. That deacon left the office and said he would come and get me after the Sunday school hour just before the morning service. Well, the clock ticked and gobbled up the minutes. The morning was fast disappearing. I was immediately aware of being unworthy and unprepared. My evening message was almost ready. A message for the morning was non-existent. Preaching the same sermon to the same congregation morning and evening did not seem to be a good option. Oh, Lord, help. Well, I sat and I prayed. And I tried to prepare with my Bible open, and it was as if my Bible was filled with seemingly blank pages. And then, realization, reflection. I thought of that aged and dying deacon and his seasoned friendship with his pastor. I thought of the readiness with which that one pastor, one man, one friend, one shepherd left the 99 to go be with one whose life was ebbing away. What was happening? What was I seeing? Was I seeing the gospel in action? Was I seeing an active love? Well, this led me to think of our Heavenly Father's even greater love for His children. For right then I was witnessing a love that moves and acts upon the children of God. What was I seeing? See how great a love. So right then and there in the pastor's study, I opened my Bible to 1 John 3:1. Yes, I did. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God, and such we are. The passage leapt off the page, slamming into my unworthiness, exposing the fact that I had nothing to offer. I was cornered appropriately. So that very morning, I offered a short sermon on 1 John 3:1. Nearly 40 years ago. See how great a love? And once again, I saw something about love for the children of God. Once again, I saw something of the gospel. How? Let me explain. An unworthy man was sought by his pastor. A sinner was sought by a shepherd. But there's more. A dying man was sought by a shepherd who would himself one day die. All of this was in the air. It was happening right then and there. Admittedly, what was going on was but a dim reflection, even though it was an accurate reflection of the Father's love for the children of God, because He sent a shepherd to the dying, and that shepherd was to die. You've now received a narrative introduction to this passage. And you might be wondering, what did that student say? Well, I recall two things. Two points to a very simple, basic, on-the-moment sermon. The first point was, see. The second point was, how great. See. Pause. Stop. Take a look. Look, see, behold, and notice the unfailing love of God. So start here. Obey this. Do this. See. Look. Ponder. Peer. Perceive. Gaze. Stare. I had been looking at my unworthiness. I had been looking at my lack of preparedness. And the events of that day led me to look to the love of God. See. See this love, it makes children of God. It places love upon the unlovely. It claims those who are unworthy, who have nothing to offer, who are unprepared, like an infant. I had been focused on my inability and my failings, and the events of that morning led me to be faced with the ability and the faithfulness of the Lord instead. See? I spent so much time fretting about myself that I was on the verge of missing what the Lord was doing presently as He was claiming a dying man and demonstrating His own love through another man who would himself one day die. See? The second point, how great. How great? It comes to us as an exclamation. Put the mark there. See how great? Literally, it means of what sort? From what country? See, from what country did this come from? See, what sort is this? Matter of fact, it's used of Mary. Mary, in Luke chapter 1, her amazement was marked by this. She wondered what sort of announcement or greeting this was from the angel. What sort is this? It's an exclamation. Mary was filled with wonder. But we can also package it as a question. See? How great? Do you see how great? We're surrounded by this and we often miss it. This word is also used in Luke's gospel. You'll remember the time when there was a woman known as a sinner in the city. She came to the house of Simon the Pharisee where Jesus was having a meal. And this woman, whose reputation preceded her and surrounded her and followed her, humbled herself and anointed Jesus' head and his feet with oil and her tears. And Simon stood back and he made this comment. If he knew what sort of woman she is who is touching him, doesn't he know? Surely he should know. There it was. See? How great. And we're living in it. Finally, today, I would like to end with this. I'd like to point out that our Lord does not merely call us children of God, showing us that we are part of His family, the household of faith. He also calls us by name. Now, parents know the names of their children. Now, here, I've heard many of you say this, and I'm experiencing it with you. Keeping the names of the children of this congregation straight is it's a bit of a challenge, especially as they keep growing. Parents always know the names of their children, and so sometimes hi, Buckaroo. Our Heavenly Father doesn't just call us His children. He knows our names. Matter of fact, sometimes even earthly parents will get confused on the names. I have and still have a brother named David, and I am still Jeff. And there were times when my parents were calling us for the evening meal. We might have been playing out somewhere in the desert, and they would get a little tongue-tied in the calling of David and Jeff, and they'd switch our first initials, so we became Javid and Deaf. Javid, Deaf, and Deaf's here, but I couldn't. Our parents know the names of their children. They do not name them in some Dr. Seussian fashion, thing one and thing two. Our Heavenly Father calls us children and knows us by name. You'll recall Genesis 21, Hagar. Exodus 3, Moses, 1 Samuel 3, Samuel, beautifully in the Gospels, Mary. Our Lord changes our citizenship, claims us as His own, and when He is active, He sometimes even changes our names. It's an act that we replicate in adoption. Names are changed at times. Abram became Abraham. Sarai became Sarah. Perhaps you'll know that Meribaal became Mephibosheth and Hadassah became Esther. The Good Shepherd, according to John chapter 10, calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God, and such we are. And amen. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that You will grow us in wonder, even as we behold the One whose name is Wonderful Counselor and Mighty God. So as His name is Wonderful, grow us in wonder as we consider what you have done to us, for us, and are even doing now. Through Jesus we pray this, and amen.